This is Renovating Masculinity. To become authentic, great men, we must intentionally build ourselves to be a place of safety and protection for others.
Each week, JT, Anthony, and myself, Chris, will challenge you to rethink old habits so you can remove thoughts that hinder you and replace them with actions that strengthen you as a man.
So let's get to work.
You know, I've already started out this morning being so nice to you, Anthony. Did it shock you a little bit?
It did. It was an enjoyable moment, man, because I knew, you know how when you enjoy something and you know it's fleeting, it's just a moment of it.
Oh, yeah, it's a moment.
And really makes you hug it and bear hug it and enjoy it.
So embrace
it. Embrace it, man. I appreciated it a lot.
You know, it's so weird that I've already forgot what I said to you.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go get the security camera tapes and just have proof that...
That he actually said
something.
We won't
hear it. We'll just see him pointing at you and you actually smiling for a second.
And I blushed.
Yeah. You
I mean, I shocked myself, actually.
It was good, man. It was unexpected, too, because I threw you a lob and you could have said a lot of little diggy things and you didn't, man.
Oh, I had 20 thoughts go through my head. Because of last week's episode, you know, we just talking about encouraging and, you know, we really challenged people just. Let's be encouraging this week. I've really done that. So it's
you felt the residue of the show.
Yeah, and even when I saw you, I was like, you know,
he ain't that bad.
Did you guys catch? Do you have any exact moments where you caught somebody doing something good? I was trying to think about it. Like, did I actually catch? I know I said some encouraging things throughout the week, but
yeah. At my job, because I
love that line. Like, catch someone doing something good. So cool.
At my job, I was very aware. That I needed to, especially some of the younger leaders.
Yeah.
Were so quick to tell them what they're not doing, and not in a negative way, but just because we want them to grow. Mm-hmm. So, hey, don't do this, don't do that, or whatever. So I found myself just being, man, you were so good at this, you know, just kind of.
Nice.
Yeah, but it was very intentional. And that was telling me how much I'm not that way, because I had to be so intentional. So I'm not naturally.
Right.
Bent that way.
That was a shift.
Yeah, it was. It was difficult.
I think that's some of the fun of it, though. That it's not, maybe it's not some natural kind of thing that you do, but that you decide to do it. And when you decide to do that and look for that kind of thing in people, I mean, you see it all day long. You see things that you're impressed with people all day long, but you just walk by them. Because we all been trained, you know, pick out the things that people don't do well, or pick out the mistakes, or we're guys, so we're looking for moments to fix something.
Right.
Rather than looking in and going, man, that's running really well. I need to let them know that.
Yeah.
But we shy away from those moments.
I like the challenge of it because it's not, like you're saying, it's a challenge to be. To me, I feel like I'm usually challenging myself to do things that are difficult or uncomfortable or potentially going to be flashback or hitting me back with contention or, you know, like something that might blow up, but I gotta make myself do this. And that's something where it's like, no, actually, when you challenge yourself with this, and if you do it, it's only goodness and good things coming from it. Worst case is someone just goes, oh, okay, thanks, and you move on. I mean, there's no... You're not going to have some big fallout.
and I think if I really have a moment to think about this, sometimes it's
wait
because...
a minute, wait. You're taking a moment to think? Hang on.
We'll be back
Let
tomorrow.
Let the record show.
Chris threw sorry, our, he threw sorry. That challenge out the window already. Yep. That's good, though. I like that dig. Sometimes I think that we think if we're encouraging or we're catching someone doing good, it's a pride thing. It's like, is it taken away from me and who I am? Because I want to be seen as that, or I want to be the man. I want to be the leader. So I can't really tell you what you're doing well.
It taps into insecurity.
It does.
Inadvertently, I feel like,
I know a few leaders like that.
Or rubs up against it.
Because of their insecurity, it makes them feel lesser than to build you up.
A lot of times when people are kind of your leadership, they're afraid to encourage you that way or tell you do something great because they think it's going to cost them something.
Yeah, that's
because they're always looking at well, what do I owe? Or is it going to be a raise if he thinks he does this? Or is it going to expect some promotion or and all of that? And leaders don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't understand the value of just walking up to somebody and recognizing something that's going well. Mm-hmm. Because all of us as leaders have been trained to point out those things that are kind of rickety and let's fix that.
Yeah.
But we forget to do the other part of it, and it sucks. But I was at work the other day, and it was a party. I don't know. I think there were 10 people and a couple of tables. And there were these guys, man. There were four guys and, like, two or three kids and a couple of ladies. And I'm just looking at the dynamic of it because a lot of times, man, when I see people out in couples, man, both people are on their cell phones or the dads are kind of distracted and doing their own thing. And it was so funny, man, that the women were all kind of in a conversation together. And the four guys, they were big old dudes. Like, everybody was over 6 foot, couple of hundred pounds. And, man, they were so gentle and so tuned in to these kids, man. I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Wow.
Because it's so uncommon to see the men digging in and engaged. And, I mean, they were playing with them, and the kids were under the table. And, you know, mom would have been freaking out. But the dads are just looking under the table and playing with them and doing games and all this. And one of them, man, I couldn't wait for one of them to get up because I just wanted to see it. But I grabbed him, and I go, man, are y'all all family? And he goes, yeah. I said, man, I'm just completely impressed with the way that you men are engaged with those kids. I say, I see a lot of families, and I just don't see that very often, that men are taking the time to be engaged with their kids. And the kids were all girls. So it was just the whole dynamic of it was pretty cool, seeing these big, brawly guys, you know, actually engaged and tuned in to these kids. And they were probably all under 6 years old, you know. So
that's awesome.
And that's important because we talked about this is – as a band of brothers, you know, there's always the tendency to think that it's about confessing things. It's about, you know, it's about
accountability.
Yeah, accountability. Early, yeah. And, you know, I got to go because I got to tell them what I did. And but really, Anthony wasn't even friends with that guy, but yet he did a principle that we talk about. You know, as a band of brothers, it's not just about confessing. It's about doing life together and looking at those things that they're good at and calling it out in them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a part of being a friend, and we forget that part often.
Right.
What do you always say? Men will grow where they're watered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, men will flourish where they're watered. And I'm glad you brought the kids thing up. I did this this little experiment. This is Black History Month. You know, and
it is.
Did you not know that?
I didn't.
Okay, but because you know we talk about the famous African Americans.
Yep.
So you got Martin Luther the King. No, just kidding. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King, Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali. I mean, you can just go down the list of African Americans that have changed history.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't often talk about. Because we just don't know the stories of the ordinary guy that really, and I think of Anthony a lot, that, you know, could have been the major statistic.
Mm.
You know, 80% of African American men do this or whatever. And Anthony's really in the lower part of it because he started out not great, wasn't handed a good set of, you know, a deck of cards.
Mm.
But then, you know, just through these years, he's changed and been very intentional and been successful. I don't mean successful in the way that we define success.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just successful. Not that. Yeah. I mean, you know, two Mercedes. I mean, I think that's rubbing in a little. But, oh, wait a minute, you're a Cadillac guy. That's right. I'm
especially
sorry.
When you can't afford to put gas in them. I mean, it gets a little ridiculous.
So I know a lot of Anthony's, right? So just because of what I do. So I wanted to know from a kid's standpoint. So I asked a few to write, can you tell me something about your dad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, African American, ordinary dude, just working hard, whatever. And, you know, just really, like Anthony said, being intentional with his kids. And, I mean, just you watch it, and it's just a beautiful thing. So
it is.
I actually got three people
snap.
To do it. So I'm going to read this.
JT did homework.
I did homework.
Dude, come on.
So I did. Here's three kids. And again, this is Black History Month. So
yeah.
Honor these. And they'll know who it is when I read it.
But, that's great.
Here's one that says, Dear Dad, I can't tell you how proud I am of you and where you are in life. I'm proud to call you my dad because you are the best example of one.
Hmm.
I know you have hit a couple of bumps in your life, but you've kept going and stayed the course. To see where you are now, your hard work has paid off, and you should be happy about it. I know that God is proud of you. I thought that sentence was great. You're a leader, a guide to other men, plus many more things. So in honor of Black History Month, I'd like to say I appreciate you being my father, and I'm thankful for you. I know it can be hard to be a black man in the modern day, but you push through it and go on with your life. I just want to say I love you.
Jeez.
Isn't that awesome? This other kid, that was a girl to her dad.
Do you not want to shout that father out, or you don't want to do that?
I will. I'll say all of them at the end.
Anyway.
This one says, sir. I love that. Ooh, sir. There we go. Must be military.
What up, respect? Sir. Yes, respect.
I love you and appreciate how far you've come in every facet of your life. You are caring more about your mental health and working through and overcoming your past traumas.
Ooh, come on.
You're working on your body and losing weight and eating better. That's intentional. I mean, Wow. Think of how intentional that is. But you are also working on your emotions. This guy must be mean. And I'm just kidding. I know who it is. Sorry. You're working on your emotions and how you communicate and share them. Mm. I'm not sure if it's because of me getting older or you working more on yourself, but I learn more and more about your personality, who you are as an individual, not just my father. Boy, that's important. You're a caring, trustworthy, hardworking, humble, steadfast man that is still able to have a dynamic character. I love your heart and appreciate everything you do for me, seen and unseen, past and present.
Mm.
It's awesome.
I know who that is.
Who's that?
I'm gonna wait, but I think I know who that is.
Okay. You don't? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one from this. This one's great. When my mom asked me to write about the qualities I love about him, I didn't know where to start. He taught me how to be a go-getter and not take any BS from anyone, especially when it came to my education and who I kept as my friends. At the time, I didn't understand, but that's the number one quality I learned from him at a very early age. He showed me how to work hard for what I want as a black man. I could give examples, but we don't have time. Even as a child, he has always treated me as one of his own and been a father figure. One of the things I remember being a preteen that he told me was that he wasn't trying to replace me as his father, but that he just wanted to teach me from his own experience as a black man, and that has stuck with me ever since. I could have written about 5 pages about him, but I'll cut it short. Overall, I've learned how to articulate, command respect from a room when you enter without saying anything.
Mm.
Listen and analyze after speaking, and keep your cool. That's good. Another quality I believe I picked up was not measuring my success through my job, but who I am as a man.
Man, that's a good lesson.
We need to learn that. Oh, one more. Yeah. I do have one more. So I did the kids, then I did a wife.
Okay.
Again, I just know that I know them. I don't know their story completely, but I just watched them, you know.
Yeah.
So this one last one. And again, we're talking about honoring, you know, just taking the time to see the good in somebody. And I thought it was interesting because kids don't normally do that. So I know that these kids had to sit down and think about this.
Because they take a lot for granted.
They do. And they don't consider this.
Yeah, that's great.
So this is from a wife. I'm going to paraphrase some of this. When I was asked to write about my husband's success as a black man, I was filled with a lot of emotions. At first, if you ask him if he thinks he's successful, his answer would be no, which I find very interesting due to the fact that considering his history and upbringing, in a lot of people's eyes, including mine, he's very successful. Mm-hmm. So where do I start? Mm-hmm. I wrote a letter to God in detail of the type of man that I wanted in my son's life. I guess she was a single mom, mm-hmm. and then she got married. God-fearing, integrity, loving, humble, tall, dark-skinned, and handsome. I know the husband. I don't know about the handsome part, but okay. A year later, I just did sarcasm. See, I just digged it. It's hard to read encouraging.
It's hard to unplug it, man.
I won't do it. A year later, he came into my life. I knew his history, but when I looked at him, I did not see his past.
Mm.
I saw a handsome, hardworking man who desired and deserved a second chance. And over the past years, I've seen his desire and second chance turn into an overcomer, from a low self-esteem to reconciling with his own father, to walking in forgiveness, grace, and walking out of his anger. I've never seen a person be so selfless as a husband. One of my greatest memories of his selflessness was when I was at a conference. I got sick and he drove down and got me, picked me up. It was like a 20-hour drive or something crazy. I've had a few surgeries over the years and not once did I feel abandoned or not cared for. Also admires leadership. He's a humble servant leader. I'm always amazed at the stories he shares with me about an employee that he had to let go and that came back and thanked him. If you were to ask him if what was his greatest achievements or accomplishments, he will most definitely say when he accepted Christ, being a husband and being a father. Recently, our son was at work and one of his coworkers brought up the subject of their parents going on a field trip. My son thought it was normal for his parents to go on every field trip to the house. This is my story right here. He quickly learned, I did this just to stop. I did this because my dad didn't come to anything. Mm-hmm. So I went to everything, mm-hmm. That my son did. Mm. And my dad, the reason, because he was working hard, I don't have any bad feelings about that. But my husband attended every field trip, every game, anything that our son has ever done, that he's been there, and that it was important to him. I will end by saying that he's not perfect, but he is perfect for me. He has helped me heal a lot from my past hurts and wounds. He has taught me how to love and reinvent myself. He also taught me how to be spontaneous, enjoy the small details, slow down and enjoy the scenery. I'm still working on that. If you're lucky enough to be one of his friends, count yourself blessed. He does not take his friendships lightly. When I look at my husband, I'm honored and thankful to be called Miss Flemons. So every letter that I just read is Anthony's kids and his wife. And this is part of friendship. I wish I had a camera on Anthony right now because he's boohooing. But this is a part of honoring someone that we don't do a lot. And as much as we kid and as much as we jab at each other, it's because of our relationship is so strong that we can do that. We're not offended. Mm-hmm. But moments like this that you can just take the chance to honor someone for what they've accomplished. Because I promise you guys, most men don't see themselves as successful. And if they do, they're full of pride. So you don't want to be around them anyway. But most men, especially like Anthony, that has overcome a lot of things to get where he's at, he's so intentional about being a husband, so intentional about being a father, so intentional about being a friend, so intentional about being a leader, that you just have to take time to honor that. So, Anthony, that was Zay, Trinity,
dude.
Theo wrote in.
You're doing a lot of good, brother.
And Christina, so...
Man,
I'll give the mic to you.
Oh. Dude.
See, that's just cruel. You can't just throw the mic to him.
Oh, yeah, I can.
To tell you how disconnected, man, I guess, that you can become emotionally, man. I'm sitting here listening to those comments from those kids and everything, and I'm like, man, wish my kids thought of me that way, man.
Yeah.
I hope my kids think of me that way. And I'm just almost coveting the words that you're reading, man, going, dude, I would love to live a life where my kids would think that of me and my wife would think that of me. And then when you said something about she got sick at a conference, I remember that incident, man. And she had my wife gets these major migraines. So she's somewhere, man, it's a long way away. And she's gone with somebody else. And she ends up there and she calls me and she tells me that she's stuck in the hotel room. She's got this really bad migraine and she's feeling bad. And I'm like, okay. So I take off work and I go get her. And she does, man. She tracks back to that a lot when in intimate moments where we're talking about our lives, man. She'll track back to that. And it's those moments where you don't really feel like you're doing anything special, but it really affects somebody's mind or heart towards you. So,
yeah.
But man, that was that's overwhelming, dude. And and I'm telling JT, man, I think I know who that guy is. Because he's a great dude, and never thinking yourself. But it's so funny too. One more thing, and we can move on. But this morning, JT had mentioned maybe we'll talk about some times that people have encouraged you
and it kind of changed your direction or something like that. And I remember one or two, but it's so funny, man, that over the years, man, hundreds of people have been intentional about saying something positive or trying to point me in a new direction, encouraging me in a thing that I'm good for. And, you know, I can't remember any of them because I am so quick to capture that compliment or capture that positive moment and just throw it away because somehow you can't believe that someone would see a thing, some kind of value in you that you can't, at times you can't really see in yourself. And I was just thinking, I can't remember any of them. I remember a couple that really did change my trajectory, but for the most part, I've taken them and captured them so quickly and thrown them away that I can't even remember them happening. So, wow.
And I think that I know the reason for that is because when a man looks at his past and he only can see the majority of bad that he's done, right? And all of us have done stuff that we're not proud of, right? Nobody wants to walk around with, you know, with a list of things that we've done in the past.
Yeah.
But that's how we judge ourselves. We'll judge ourselves by, man, I did this thing or I did that thing. And if they knew that I did that thing, it just discredits everything.
Yeah.
And the encouragement actually goes against the self-talk. So I'm going to remember the self-talk more than I am going to remember what you say. And we just immediately block it out. And again, that's why, guys that are listening to this, it's super important to look at your friends and find those things that they're really good at. And I used you as an example, Chris, the other day talking to somebody about how you, so easy, the decision to not be a drummer but be a dad was so easy for you. And the reason you said was because my identity was never about me being a drummer. And so it's just super easy just to, that's not who I am, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And so many times we as men get wrapped up in what we do and not who we are. And so identity's a big deal. And so we self-talk ourselves into an identity that's not true just because of the things that we've done in the past. And it's just moments like this, and I'm glad that Chris and I, actually Hill's the one that kind of gave us the idea. And then
doggone Hill.
That doggone Hill, so sweet.
She's going to get it.
She's so nice.
Tell you, if I'm ever in trouble, me on air, Hill.
If I'm ever in trouble, I want her around me. She's very encouraging, but super sweet. I mean, she almost, well, she did actually
tear up just thinking about us
when we were. So, but it's important, guys, to, like Anthony said, catch somebody doing good and catch somebody being good.
Yeah, that always makes me think of trying to give people the compliments or the recognition that I wish I, if I'm honest with myself enough, I can name a few things of like, and some of it's based on memories of people doing it. That's the first times I can think of, ooh, when that guy said that to me, I grabbed it and I didn't let it go because that was monumental.
Yeah.
But then there are other ways I can start to look at like, man, I really wish. It's kind of like those moments where I start to get frustrated or bitter or mad, and I try to look at, why am I getting frustrated? Because I'm not being seen for this, or no one's seeing that I wish someone would recognize this, and trying to flip that into, who can I look around and try to call that out, give what I wish I was getting? You know, that helps me start to look for it more, because catching people in good acts, sometimes it makes me feel like, well, wait a minute, so I got to be watching them the minute they're hanging with their kids at dinner table, you know, like, that's great, but I'm not out watching families or people doing good as often as other, you know, I'm chasing my kids around more than I'm watching other people. But I can sit back and go, okay, thinking about some of my buddies or who was I texting with this past week, what do I think I could really like, even if it's just out of the blue, what would I love to hear out of the blue from that guy? I'm going to say it to him. Like, it'd be cool if he just said, you know. So I try to think about it that way, because that to me is sometimes it's almost selfish, because I'm like secretly wishing someone would do it for me too. But I also know that usually carries the most weight, because I'm honest enough to be like, this is something I don't get. I'll bet he's not getting it either. If he is, you can't have too much of it.
Absolutely. You know, so. There's some mundane things too in our lives, man, that as friends, maybe when we look in, we don't think they're a big enough deal to even mention, because it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. But even like with Zay, my son, like, we've all gone through this, I'm guessing, with our teenagers, like remembering to put the trash out.
And sometimes, man, I'll drive home and the trash is out, and I'll call my son and I go, "Hey, who put that trash out?" And he go, "Well, I did." And I go, "Man, great job." And it's just fun, man, that people are so used to being corrected that when they find out that there is a good motive behind the question, I mean, it's pretty powerful. And so I don't know, man. I know for a fact what Chris said is a big part of why it's like in my DNA, because I wished for, you know, I think I grew up in a household that was pretty, you know, good at picking out the things you didn't do well, pretty critical about those kinds of things. But I do remember something real small. It was a stranger too, but I remember her walking up to me and going, "You look just like Martin Luther King." And if you guys know me, you know I don't look like Martin Luther King. And she goes, "You're going to be great, just like Martin Luther King." And I remember, man, and he was the only dude, like, literally, I knew who he was. And I was like, "I'm going to be like Martin Luther King?"
Wow.
And I, like, that's one that I've never forgotten all of these years. Like, I'm going to be like Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that, JT, when you said that, you said Martin Luther, the King. Because I can remember telling you that years ago. I go, it's not King, it's the King. And I think that's probably why. Because, like, he holds a place of honor, I guess, in everybody's lives. But I will go back, and I want to be cautious when I mention this because I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. But that group that was in the restaurant, now those guys, they were all young, so 20s, 30s. And if you looked at them, I mean, you would suspect that they were like urban in the way that they dressed, man, and young and not the classic kind of guy that you would expect to be that kind of plugged in. Mm-hmm. And all of the guys were black. So, and I'm not saying that that's an uncommon thing in the black culture, but the fact that they were, it added some significance to me, man. Mm-hmm. And as an older guy, when you see things like that being manifested in young men's lives, you want to let them know, "Hey, man, I'm an older dude, and I know this is uncommon, so I want to tell you that it's great what you're doing."
And recognize so that, it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I did want to mention, like, just as a courtesy, you know, we're talking about a thing, and there's a project kind of going on here in Nashville, and it's called Manhood Matters, mm-hmm. and it's a friend of mine. And what he's doing is he's gathering together hundreds of interviews of regular dudes that happen to be black, and maybe they didn't start at a great place, but they're finishing strong, and he's just letting them sit down and explain, and for the record, to be able to just say, "Hey, this is my life." Mm. And it's called Manhood Matters. So that might be something that some of you guys might find interesting.
I'm going to have to look that up. I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah.
And you know what you said, Anthony, just about it's the small things that we can look at and be intentional about telling somebody they're doing good. You know, Chris, when you were talking, I can remember a lot of people encouraging me in areas. But this is just a practical thing that everybody listening can do this. Is sometimes when I think of somebody or, just a thought passes and I go, "Wonder what so-and-so's done, you know, what?" I send them a text going, "Hey, man, just thinking about you." Mm. That's all I send.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed of how many times, not 100%, but a high percentage of times that they text me back, go, "Man, do you have a moment to talk?"
Wow.
And I'll say, "Sure, man." And some of these dudes, I'm telling you, I haven't talked to in a year. But just like a friend from the past, where it just pops through my mind. And I'm not super good at this, but this is one intentional thing I'm trying to be better at, is if somebody comes to my mind, they come to my mind for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I should just reach out, just a simple text.
Doesn't need to be big, yeah.
No, not at all. And man, he'll say, "Man, it's crazy that you sent me this text, because, you know, I'm going through this right now, and I just didn't know who I could talk to." Or... And it cost me time, right? And that's, I think, a reason why we don't do it a lot, because it's going to cost us something.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, those moments, I leave more encouraged probably than I encourage them.
Always.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's like, man, you know, this little intuition thing or this simple thing of thinking of somebody's name and send them a text. And it's a great challenge to, you know. And the other thing, it takes me out of thinking about myself.
Right, right.
Which is, you know. We all love thinking about ourselves, whether good or bad. We spend a lot of time doing it. So just those moments of that, I think I want to encourage everybody just to, man, if you think of somebody, just send them a simple text. Mm-hmm. So, "Man, thinking about you," or, you know, whatever you want to send them, don't send them something like, you know, I've been thinking about you and how you hurt me. Yeah. Remember what you did to me, man.
That's a different kind of
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, that's a different kind of. But anyway, that's when you were talking, it was like, yeah, just these simple little things that we do to really be an encouragement to other people are important because of what, again, what we get out of it too. So,
yeah.
Anthony, what you doing over there? You trying to gather yourself still?
Yeah, I had to hit my family and just tell them they suck because they made me cry on air. So they're hitting me back.
Oh, we're filming it too, by the way. So we're going to put this on. So
there's proof that I'm a whiner.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yep. And I'll tell you too, JT, man, like as far as manhood and masculinity and all that, I'll admit to you, man, that those tears right there, man, that's not an uncommon thing for me, man. I am quickly moved to those, man, when it's things that are deeply emotional, mm-hmm. or things that really matter.
Sure.
And for a lot of years, man, and I know that you're still kind of in this place, JT, but for a lot of years, I didn't shed a single tear, like refused it. Like I cut them off completely. And I remember coming in relationship with Christ, man. And I remember praying a thing, Lord, let me see people the way that you see people.
Yeah.
And I can remember, like, and in my head, this is the cadence of it. But from that prayer, it seems like that it broke a thing in me, and I cannot stop it. And I seem to be able to track it back to just that desire.
Yeah,
that's God. Awesome.
So, yeah,
Chris, you have any parting words as we close this? Nobody sees us when we do this, but Chris's face watching Anthony was fun to watch.
Oh, man.
Because he was...
I was tearing up.
Oh, man. He was just looking at you going, man, were you thinking, I wish that were me?
And I want to be like that, man. I want to walk. I was hearing it the same, different, but the same as you of like, that's how I want to walk. That's how I want my kids and my wife to
be. I'm so glad you said that. So here's a letter.
Yeah, here we go.
Here's a letter.
Get the hanky out.
From your three-year-old. I can't read it. Yeah. But I'm sure that it's awesome.
It's either a letter or it's a picture of a race car that she scribbled.
No, but I loved your emotion through that. That again, man, we're just friends. We're just friends that want to, you know, encourage, challenge, you know, all that stuff. So I really enjoyed watching you just as much as I did Anthony.
I think that's just important, man. To be it's not easy though, but you got to take the time to try to build those relationships, and you don't need a lot of them. You don't need to go sit and cry with everybody you have. I mean, that's obviously not the point we're making. It's just trying to being willing to step into moments where you're going to be a little more honest, a little more real.
Mm-hmm.
But that's got to start with you and your own head in order to start doing it with somebody else. So, but odds are good that whoever you're thinking of encouraging or whoever's encouraging you, they're probably needing it just as much as you're wanting it needing it. Or, and there's just, yeah, it's never really going to backfire. So be bold.
That's a great statement. It's never going to backfire. That's actually true.
Yeah.
I mean, there's what bad could come out of encouraging someone.
If you're really doing it, you're not doing it with an expectation of, oh, I'm going to really try to say something nice to that guy or to that person in my life. And they're going to come back and do this for me. It's like, it's not conditional.
Right.
If you're really looking to do it the right way and the way we're doing it,
yeah,
you're just trying to recognize, no, it's really. And so if they, how they perceive it or take it or don't respond shouldn't really carry any weight. So you're not going to have, and no one's going to snap at you saying you can't, don't tell me that I'm doing well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you're really just not going to, there's not going to be a big fallout or a big, if you're doing it for the right reasons, then there isn't an outcome you're looking for. It's hard to go wrong. You just got to be bold enough to step into doing it.
Take that chance.
Yeah, it's the old saying, if you want a friend, then be a friend. I mean, if you want encouragement, be an encourager.
Yeah.
I guess the last piece of encouragement before you close this out, JT, is my wife mentioned something in that letter sometimes it's years in between, but somebody will show up in my building or call me or hit me on Facebook and go, man, you remember 8 years ago when you said blah, 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 and it's some small, insignificant thing. And they go, man, that really changed my life.
Jeez.
So I'm just telling you, and that's not for me, that's for you, but I'm just saying once you get a piece of fruit like that from something, it's easier the next time.
Sure.
And I'm not saying we're always going to get that kind of fruit, but just know, even if you don't get a chance to see that fruit, that it's out there.
Mm-hmm. And these words and these moments and these encouragements are not lost. Like, yeah, they're just not lost. And even for a guy like me that I can't recall all the times people have done it for me, it still impacted me and made me and encouraged me and gave me juice to go forward, even when I didn't realize that it was. So,
yeah, that's the you can close that out, JT, but that's the rooted in biblical truth. But it's that whole, you're always planting.
Always.
You're always planting something, and it might be stuff that sprouts tomorrow, or it might be stuff that you're planting you don't know is going to sprout in 10 years.
Yeah.
So if you're walking through a bunch of junk right now, what have you been planting the past decade?
Mm-hmm.
But in the positive light, what are you going to start planting today? You might, you know.
That's exactly right.
That's just, yeah.
Well, Anthony, I'm going to end by this. You have an amazing family. Of course, you know, I love your wife. Talking about bantering back and forth, man, gosh. Christina and I, it's fun. But yeah. I'm going to let you close this out, but I'm going to just honor you today. I mean, you're a great dad. Thanks, super, man. Super husband.
Thanks, bro.
You have a big A on your chest because the S wouldn't fit for Superman.
Yeah.
So it's just Anthony.
What's the A stand?
It's oh, okay. A-T. Anthony or Tony.
What's the A stand for?
No, him? I'm being encouraging. I've got about 15 words I could say. I'm not going to say them. But as I've watched you, I mean, you and I've been friends for 16 years, yeah, something like that, yeah, and really close in the last probably 10.
Yeah.
I've watched you grow into somebody that I think that you never thought that you would be.
Absolutely.
And that's fun to watch.
Man.
And fun to be actually a part of. I mean, yeah, I know that I'm a part of your story. You're a part of my story. Chris, we're all part of each other's stories.
Yeah.
But, man, just honor you today. You're the model that I think any African-American young man can look at and go, if I can be like that, what do I need to do to be like that? Mm-hmm. And you're just, you're a superhero, but you're like all of us. You're just an ordinary dude,
yeah,
trying to do the right thing, trying to treat people the way that you want to be treated. And we just wanted to honor you today. You're the best African American man we know. So,
Anthony the King Flemons.
Anthony the King.
Yeah. Now we're laying it on.
So I'm gonna let you close us out.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is man, this was completely unexpected. It is the value of having men around you that are not competing against you, but they are hoping to encourage you, help you see things in yourself that you can't see on your own. And just, I guess, to put a little bow on having some confidence in where you're going, you know, in one of those letters it mentioned that he didn't start out so great. But there's a point in everybody's time and that you can decide, you know, your worst times are behind you.
Mm.
And you can decide that you're going to move forward and progress into things that you really desire. And people are going to tell you that you can't do it or it's incredibly hard, but it's not, because it's one minuscule decision at a time, and anybody can make one. Mm-hmm. And you just stack them up against each other and make some proper decisions and hope that people have grace and mercy in your life and allow you to make a ton of mistakes and still look at you and love you and encourage you and tell you when you miss it and tell you when you hit it. And so today has been completely unexpected, even considering some of the conversations that I just had with these guys about insisting that I wasn't going to dig back and go to some places that I'm not ready to go, and then see that they take me there anyway, but in a much more palatable way for me, man. So I'm just overwhelmed. There are men around you just like me. And if you know some, you know, celebrate them. And if you are one, I hope you get celebrated. And that's about it, man. I don't have anything else. I really do feel speechless. So I am digging right now, trying to even come up with anything to say.
So you're the one looking at JT.
Yep. So as always, in closing, as I sit here looking at JT.
And I'm looking at Chris.
And I'm looking out the window at Chick-fil-A.
We're just men.
I'm letting you close. What are you doing?
I can't remember the last piece of it. We're just men
under renovation.
You're going to have to do a bunch of editing.
Renovating Masculinity is hosted by Chris Terrell, Anthony Flemons, and JT McCraw. Produced and edited by John Fender, Ben Delameter, and Jonas Litton at Lasting Media. If you want to get your hands dirty rethinking, removing, and replacing habits that keep us from becoming renovated men, join our highly engaged private Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/renovatingmasculinity. You can also find us online at renovatingmasculinity.com and on socials at renovatingmasculinity.